In this Cambridge Marketing College webinar, we're going to talk about the money matrix, marketers and finance. Now, I have to give a credit here to Rob Moore, who is the disruptive entrepreneur. You may well have seen his podcast. You may well have seen him on YouTube. He is a financial and entrepreneurial influencer, and he has just recently released a new book called The Money Matrix. And I have created a marketer's kind of take or a marketer's spin from a lot of the learnings that come from Rob's book. And I would say if you're interested in finding out more, search for his book on Amazon. And I'll also share a link with the interview that I did recently with Rob on my podcast, where you can get a much deeper dive from the horse's mouth, Rob himself, on the whole concept of the money matrix. But we're here today in this particular session, really thanks to Rob for the guidance, to be honest, in terms of how marketers can learn finance, how marketers can really empower themselves. And this is the moment really where, I guess in lots of ways, you know, from my perspective, the ambition of getting more financially savvy meets strategy, where every marketer really, I mean, let's be honest, does have the power if they choose to go down this route, which isn't always the most obvious route for a marketer to go, because a lot of us are creative. A lot of us are very interested in communications and the kind of the social aspect of marketing. But in this journey, we're going to remember that finances really are at the absolute core of everything that we do as a marketer. It's not just about the budget you start with, but the wisdom with which you allocate that budget. Okay, so one of the things I'm going to be talking about, and I'll mention this phrase probably a number of times as we go through this, is that in marketing, finance and budgets should not be thought of as a cost to the business, because you spend a cost. Okay, so if you're spending money, it's gone. Whereas actually, if we consider that marketing budget, marketing resources, marketing is much more of an investment, then just by definition of the word investment, you expect to get a return. And so that's the fundamental key here to unlocking the value between marketers and finance, is to consider that everything is based around an investment, in which, of course, you are going to be expecting some kind of return. So we'll plot out how you can do that in a minute. So let's redefine growth. Okay, so one strategic decision at a time, and we're going to transform potential, which is having a budget in marketing, into tangible success. And we're going to go step by step through and translate what Rob Moore's work in a personal sense from investments and growing and being rich, or being, you know, sort of financially secure, can actually then do to translate into our world here as marketers, as business owners, and as entrepreneurs from our brand's perspective. So, success in marketing, as in wealth building, comes from setting clear goals. Okay, that one shouldn't really come as any surprise. You know, if you're given a pot of money to spend as a marketer, you shouldn't really be surprised that actually you're going to need to do some planning here. So let's look into that. It's efficiently managing resources. So whilst, you know, marketing, often you, when we talk about marketing resources, we think about obviously budget, but we also think about time. We also think about the people available to us. So the broader view of resources, I'm just going to really focus in here on finance. So our financial resources. We also need to continuously invest in knowledge and be adaptable to change. Now, these are two fundamental principles at the core of marketers successfully understanding and leveraging finance. Okay, constantly investing in knowledge, learning how you can do this stuff better and better and better every day is key. And being adaptable to the changing environment in which we find ourselves. So that's a macro change, you know, as you know, the economy hopefully starts to improve and we start to see a, you know, great opportunity to invest more in our businesses, as well as when things change, maybe for the negative. So budget gets reduced or budget gets slashed for whatever reason. So as long as we're thinking of marketing and the budgets within marketing as an investment and not a cost, we stand a chance of making some gains. We stand a chance of making more success, if you like, and seeing a better, let's call it this, a return on investment. And this is really where the ROI, the words ROI come from, return on investment, a return on this budget that we've been given. So the responsibility and accountability is now on us. And as long as we're setting clear goals, managing our resources, so being super efficient, continually investing in knowledge, finding out better ways of doing this stuff, and then being adaptable to the inevitable change that will happen. I don't think I've ever, in all the years I've been doing this stuff, I don't think I've ever seen a budget set at the start being exactly the same at the end. Things move, things change. And so that is what we need to be mindful for. As I said at the outset, one of the key things here is that we're basing this marketing interpretation of marketers and finance on Rob Moore's book, The Money Matrix. If you search out the Neil Wilkins podcast on YouTube, you will see one of the key episodes recently. It's about five or six episodes back on my podcast. You will see my interview with Rob as he was talking us through all of the variety of things that as individuals, as entrepreneurs, as business owners and marketers, we need to focus on to be successful when it comes to managing money and investing money. This is what I'm basing this particular webinar on. So this is the interpretation of Rob's work into marketing speak. But let's begin where Rob Moore says we can build wealth. So this is a summary from a personal perspective of his four main steps to building wealth. Okay, so we need to establish some financial goals. Now, I'm going to base this on kind of like what you could focus on as an individual and what I can focus on as an individual. And then we'll go deeper into each of these elements and figure out how we can translate this wisdom into our marketing remit, into our marketing responsibilities to build wealth within our businesses. So first one is establish your financial goals. So you need to begin by defining personal wealth. What does this actually mean to you? You can't set a goal that's based on somebody else's perception of success or of wealth. So you need to go deep inside yourself and define what you mean by personal wealth. And then around that, set some realistic targets. Yeah, they can be stretch targets. We'll talk about that from a marketing perspective in a minute. But setting some targets, how much wealth do I want to create? And then create a plan and a timeline. So how much wealth do I want to create? What does wealth really mean to me? And when do I want to get to certain milestones or certain points? Now, it might be I need to get enough wealth to be able to have a deposit for purchasing a flat or a house, for example. Or it could be I need enough wealth to be able to afford that car that I want. Or it could be that I need to support my family to this particular level. Therefore, I need to do this. Or I need to be managing a side hustle to create some wealth because I want to strike out on my own in business. Whatever those goals are, you can then set that realistic target and then work backwards. So reverse engineering a plan and a timeline to get you to that point, rather than just sitting there thinking, yeah, I'd like to make a bit more money, actually doing it more consciously, more strategically and more planfully. Next thing Rob talks about, his second of the four main steps, is to increase your income. Okay, now you could think, well, yeah, okay, Neil, well, that's easy to say. But actually, there are ways, obviously, to explore new opportunities. What is out there that would allow you to maybe top it up by doing some additional work, or maybe working in a different organization, or maybe having a side hustle that I mentioned before? You know, that could be an interesting one that allows you to explore new opportunities. You know, your decision making at this stage to increase your income is only limited by what you're willing to think about. You might decide that actually, based on the value that you're now bringing to your organization, you could negotiate for better pay in the role that you're in. You know, often having those conversations can actually prove, you know, very fruitful. And of course, if you can look for maybe establish some more passive income avenues, that could also be really interesting. So are there things that you have of value that can just tick over? I don't necessarily think they're kind of zero resource intensive, but there might be some things you could set up and then maybe just give a little nod to. Some people have little kind of side e-commerce businesses or little micro entities that just create a little bit of extra pocket money or just a little bit of extra income. Now, of course, incrementally, each of these things can build into something much bigger. So explore ideas for increasing your income. Step number three in Rob Moore's main steps to building wealth are to minimize your expenses. At the same time as thinking about growth and increasing, you can also then reduce cost. And this is one of the key ways, obviously, as a business to become more profitable is to reduce your costs, because then that just by the definition of profit being the deduction of cost away from the revenue that you bring in, there's your profit. You can be profitable, not even necessarily by growing your business, but just by being more cost effective. So in a personal sense, minimizing your expenses, becoming possibly a little bit more frugal, but not necessarily. You might be seeing wastage and you might be wasting money on certain things, utility bills, travel costs, subscriptions that you no longer are looking at. All these things can go into the mix to allow yourself to be just a little bit more savvy or a little bit more focused. So budgeting and spending tracking is really, really important. Knowing where your money goes, because of course, if you could just trim things back, a lot of people say, well, if you just turn the heating down just by 10%, you're going to save 10% of cost. It's that kind of a mindset. And reducing non-essential expenses, those things that were once actually quite important that maybe no longer serve you. A key one that Rob talks about as well is prioritizing debt repayment. So actually being cash positive. So actually working from what you have in terms of cash flow and almost thinking of your own situation like a little mini micro business and thinking, well, actually, if I was a business, am I actually spending on the right things? Could I kind of get rid of that debt because I'm paying interest on that debt? So if I could get rid of that, pay that off first, rather than just constantly spending and putting everything on credit card, would that be a way of actually becoming a little bit more wealthy? Well, of course, the answer is clearly yes. And the fourth thing in Rob Moore's four main steps to building wealth is investing in your future. This stuff doesn't come around by mistake. It's not, going to be rocket science to say that, the people who are actually planning this and thinking about this and learning about this, so actually investing in the future, are the ones who are going to be winning. And this isn't just winning for the future. So yes, having, some kind of retirement account or just having a pot of money that you know is for the long term. So you're kind of investing, putting stuff away. And it's not for a rainy day. It's putting it away consciously so that you have some kind of protection in the future. Again, we'll see how all these things play out in a marketing sense in just a minute. You can also look at low-cost index funds. That's one of the things that that Rob talks about, is actually going to the market. This is shares, this is various kind of funds and investments that are very low cost, low-hanging fruit, but that again can just start to build that little nest egg, if you like. So that's part of the future. But for me, the key one that Rob talked about actually on the podcast was the whole thing about becoming more educated. It's about reading the books, it's about watching the financial press. It's about looking at those review sites and just constantly incrementally improving what it is you understand about wealth, about finances, so that just every single day you just learn a little snippet. Those little incremental gains can make a huge impact over time. Yes, each one individually isn't going to probably change everything, isn't going to suddenly supercharge your bank account, but incrementally together they will. So that's the key thing here. So those are kind of Rob Moore's sort of main guidance in summary form of how we can build wealth as individuals. And he also talks as well, excuse me, he also talks as well about building, really, really good habits for fast and lasting wealth. He talks about mindful spending, conscious decision making when you spend. Do you really need, is it a a need or a want is always a very, very good little benchmark here. Do I need this thing? Yes, I need it. Okay, I'll get it. Do I want this thing? Yeah, but do I need it? Not really. Okay, so a conscious decision. We're not saying that you can't buy stuff. We're not saying that it's wrong to treat yourself now and again, but just mindful spending is absolutely key. And prioritizing saving over spending, living within your means, just those conscious decision-making points where it just makes more sense to do it in the right kind of way. Another thing that Rob talks about is regular saving. So income allocation on a monthly basis, and then automating savings, a small percentage of those savings from that monthly income. And again, you can, it's not about being really, really tight and not kind of giving yourself the flexibility. And it's also about not saying that, you know, when times are tough, you're not going to trim that percentage back. But even if it is 1%, it's better than 0%. And that 1% will incrementally grow and grow and grow. And the accumulation of that over time is the way that people do become financially very, very secure in the medium to longer term. So regular saving and the automation of those savings, taking stuff at source, not waiting to see how much you have at the end of the month before you then put the balance into the little pot. It's actually taking it out at source as though you never had it. But of course, you know, we all subscribe to things like Netflix, et cetera, et cetera. So we can afford those things, but can we afford to invest for our future? Well, Rob would say you need to, because that's actually more important. And investing in knowledge, staying informed, as we said, on finance, reading and attending seminars, maybe seeking professional advice as you start to build this pot of resources, because at that point, you're going to start to be able to then start to make conscious decisions about future investments. Now, of course, we're looking at here kind of diversifying. We'll see very interestingly how this plays out in a marketing sense in a minute, because this bit's really fascinating when you see this translated into a business sense. But Rob talks about diversifying in investments, not putting all of your eggs into one basket, is that very, very traditional British phrase that, you know, I'm sure we've all heard. All your eggs in one basket is a very high risk strategy. And of course, it is personally as well as it is in business. So by reducing the risk, by spreading your investments, spreading your attention, not too broadly, so it becomes unfocused, but actually returning the maximum amount of value back and reducing the risk as far as you can by just conscious diversification is really what we're saying here. And then regularly reviewing your portfolio. And again, we'll see this translate into marketing, because you can't just put the budget out there. You can't just put your money into an investment and just leave it. Rob would always be saying about regularly reviewing it. And you might need a professional. You might need an advisor or guide to help talk you through that. That's going to be really important. So the key takeaway from all of this really is that wealth and success in terms of finance is built through really consistent effort, disciplined saving, strategic investing, and of course, staying focused, committed and adhering to the financial plan, that thing that we were going to set at the outset, having a really clear view of what does wealth mean to me? What does money mean to me? What does success in terms of security mean to me? And then going your path and your road. This is not about anybody else's definition. This is about taking decisions consciously yourself. Okay, so now let's translate Rob Moore's money matrix from a personal financial perspective into a marketing and business growth framework, because what we want to do here is see if we can actually build on this to offer, hopefully for all of us marketers, you know, a valuable kind of approach to looking to optimize and leverage our resources. That's really what we're after here. So as we get budget, as we get opportunities to put our focus and attention in particular channels or in particular marketplaces, or maybe develop new products and services, how can Rob Moore's philosophy about personal investment and financial growth play into our world? Well, let's do some translation here then. So number one, establish your marketing goals. Okay, well, we all know, because we've got a marketing plan, we've got objectives, Neil. Of course we do that. Well, you'd be amazed actually how many organizations do just do tactical stuff without any goals. So what we need to really do here, if we're going to do this properly and build wealth in our businesses, we need to define what success looks like for our marketing efforts. This could mean, and again, this will be very personal to you. So you need to kind of work this through and translate it for yourself. But this could mean increasing brand awareness, boosting sales, or maybe expanding into new markets. But absolutely clearly, you've got to set really smart goals, realistic, measurable targets, things like maybe a certain percentage increase in leads or sales, that kind of thing, and create a strategic marketing plan to achieve these targets. You're going to document your goals and you're going to put in here as well a timeline to monitor progress. So exactly what Rob was saying that we need to be doing to plan from a personal perspective, we're going to do the business equivalent here in our marketing. So having that end game in sight, almost setting the sat nav for our marketing goals and our marketing spend, and then of course the route map then just plays out in front of us in our journey to get to it. And we can put key performance indicators, KPIs en route as we go, just to monitor the progress that we're making. So again, it's not complicated, but so few of us actually do it in this kind of formalized way. But it's really important. So number two, again, translating these wealth steps into marketing. Number two would be increasing your marketing income. So this is translating to increasing your business revenue through marketing activities. Budget doesn't come from nowhere. It doesn't come, money isn't grown on trees was the phrase, wasn't it? So we've got to take responsibility as marketers here. We're only going to get budget if we can grow the revenue that actually pays for that budget. Budget doesn't just exist. Budget has to come from revenue and sales. So that's what we need to focus on so that we can almost fuel ourselves. And that is a way of looking at this, particularly if we use the word investment rather than cost. So we need to explore new marketing channels or strategies that will reach a wider audience. We need to negotiate better advertising rates to reduce the cost, for example, or we could launch new campaigns that leverage trending topics. So we can get super tactical here, but we have to increase business revenue. And we could also, if you think about it, actually consider passive income strategies. What, really, Neil? We can do what we would do personally in a business sense? The answer is obviously yes, because things like affiliate marketing or maybe sponsored content get a little bit more creative, get a little bit more collaborative, because these things can generate revenue with less active management and input of resources on your side. So, yes, you've obviously got products and services that are going to be the core of your marketing, much like from a personal perspective, you have your salary coming in each month. But actually, there's stuff you can do around the periphery of that. So think about in your business, what could we leverage from our partnerships? Could we set up affiliate marketing? Could we do, sponsored content? If you've got a webinar series or you're doing a podcast or things like that, there's an opportunity to leverage those things. So start getting a little bit creative in how you actually bring more revenue into the business. Yes, products and services going to be the core always, but around the outside, remember, we're looking here to increase the marketing income. So those additional little sales pots, if you like, of opportunity could start to build some significant wealth over time. Point three in our four steps is minimize your marketing expenses. Now, this one obviously is something we would all be trying to do. But again, as part of this investment plan, remember, we're looking for return on investment, and that can come from increasing the revenue or reducing the costs. So this is the reducing the costs bit. So you can audit all of your current marketing spend to identify areas where you can cut back without compromising on results. And again, we'll be wasting money in certain areas that aren't really working. So you might involve then shifting focus from high cost, low return channels to ones that are more effective, or even renegotiating contracts with some of your suppliers. You can prioritize spending on activities that directly contribute to revenue generation and consider the cost effectiveness of maybe bringing some things in-house versus outsourcing them. Sometimes that can be super efficient. And a lot cheaper as well. So that could be an interesting one for you to actually explore. So you can see that these things actually play out in a business sense as well. It's the same thing as just looking at your own personal cost base. So it gets interesting when you start to think, wow, these things really do translate. They really do play over. And remember, we said about investing in your financial awareness. Well, from a marketing perspective, you've got to invest in your marketing future. So allocating budget for long-term growth strategies such as SEO, brand building, or as we're seeing now with the emergence of AI and metaverse, particularly marketing technology. And it may not deliver immediate returns, but these are going to be things that are crucial for sustainable growth. And of course, we're seeing a lot of efficiencies now play out, particularly using AI, for automating some of the things that would normally be taking a lot of time away from the people in the organization. So now the value of that time can be enhanced and increased. So if you can do it that way, then things start to get really interesting. So what are you going to do next? Well, you're going to stay informed about the latest marketing trends and technologies and consider investing in training, not just for you, but also for your team. So you'll always have your finger on the pulse. You can always have the skills and capabilities to make those kinds of decisions. And of course, the more you research, the more you invest in knowledge and understanding, and the more you watch the trends and the technologies as they're emerging, which they undoubtedly are right now, the more opportunities you get there to both invest in, growth, but also, as we're seeing here, in terms of cutting cost where things are just really wasted. And there's a huge opportunity here to be building wealth from not actual growth, but from just reducing your cost base accordingly. So there are some habits that I think we're going to need to be building here as marketers, and these are habits for fast and lasting marketing wealth. So the first thing is mindful marketing spending. Be strategic and intentional with your marketing budget. Yeah, focus on investments that align with your long-term goals and offer measurable ROI. Avoid the temptation to chase after every new trend without evaluating its potential impact on your business. I am not saying don't spend on new stuff. I'm not saying don't explore innovative new channels for distributing your products and service. I'm not saying don't spend on advertising. What I'm saying is just be mindful. Think about the return on investment. That's always going to be your filter. Don't just jump because somebody says, oh, we've got to go down this particular channel, or oh, we've got to do this thing next week. Is actually think about the return on the investment. Be very mindful over that balance of how much is it going to cost to invest us in this, and what is the potential return? And you're constantly using that as your filter. Be really, you wouldn't do this, stuff if it was from a personal perspective. So be really mindful that if this was my business, if this was me and my wealth coming in here as part of my salary, what decisions would I make? It's a similar kind of mindset. And that's why I'm really excited by this translation between personal and marketing or business. Because actually, if we can take real human responsibility for this stuff, our ROI is going to go through the roof. It just will, because we're really focused and paying attention to it. What could we do as well with marketing savings? Well, this is an interesting one. Again, we're still trying to translate this stuff across. Wouldn't it be interesting if you consistently set aside a portion of your budget for testing new marketing initiatives? Or for emergency use in times of unexpected downturn. And lots of us are kind of riding quite a bumpy road and bumpy journey right now because, customers are behaving in strange ways, your markets are downturning. So if we've already put aside a proportion of our budget for testing new initiatives and for these kinds of times, then having that reserve can allow us to take an opportunity of sudden moments that are presenting themselves in these downturn and these hard economic times. It gives us choice, it gives us control. So if we put aside some marketing savings, have you ever thought about doing that as part of your budget planning? Well, it's an interesting one. It seems to work from a personal perspective, so why wouldn't it work in marketing? Well, I would say it probably would. Another great habit to be thinking about is investing in marketing knowledge. So just this continuously learning about new marketing strategies, tools, and best practices. So you do need to be literally on a day-to-day basis, involving yourself in industry publications, read them, know what's going on, have your finger on the pulse, attend webinars and conferences, or enroll in courses, Cambridge Marketing College here, we've got a whole host of different kind of courses that allow you to stay up to date with this kind of stuff. And obviously, I mentioned the AI and Metaverse Marketing One, a day course that we run every single month. Check marketingcollege.com/events for more information about that one. And stay up to date, or staying up to date, ensures that your marketing efforts remain effective and competitive, because it is very easy to let something just carry on running of its own accord as you get distracted doing something else. And by the time you remember that that was a thing you put your money into, the world has moved on. So always having, much like having a dashboard, you need to kind of have this almost mission control kind of approach here. That is so important if you're going to really manage this. But investing in that knowledge is absolutely key. So get feeds, get information, get your favorite publications, get your favorite podcasts, and get them all into one place so that you can always keep tapped in. That's really important. And remember, we said the phrase, don't put all your eggs into one basket. So let's think about that from a marketing perspective then. So diversifying marketing investments, key concept. Don't rely on a single marketing channel or strategy. You know, those influencers who put all their attention and all of their content into one favorite social network, and then suddenly the algorithm changes and they lose their connections, they lose their followers. Well, that's exactly what we're talking about here. Use a mix of digital and traditional marketing techniques where it's appropriate that are tailored to your target audience. But the key thing here, and this is the big one, I mean, that's probably quite obvious, but the key thing here is to regularly review and adjust the marketing mix to respond to changing market conditions and your customer behaviors, so that you reduce risk and you maximize your potential return. So you're always pointing and always putting and investing in the stuff that's winning. As stuff starts to die back or the algorithm changes, get out of there. You would if it was your money. So why would you do anything differently in marketing spend? It's really important here to kind of just remember that you really are owning this stuff. That's key. So what are we going to do next? What are the kind of top tips for kind of bringing this thing kind of round in terms of really actionable stuff? Well, here are the six tips really for marketers who are looking to manage their marketing budget more effectively. Prioritize goals and allocate accordingly. Absolutely key. So clearly define your marketing objectives and prioritize them based on your business goals. So what are the goals further upstream? You can then allocate your budget to activities that directly support these priorities. Remember Pareto principle, 80-20 rule. 80% of the value is going to come from 20% of the things that you invest in. So make sure that the most critical objectives receive the funding they need to succeed. Don't spread yourself too thinly. Again, if you had your marketing budget and you thought, well, okay, on balance then, are you saying, Neil, that 80% is to kind of current stuff and 20% is a little bit more kind of speculative and future? I'd say absolutely yes. Retain some of that budget, either for your savings pot or to be a little bit speculative. Probably around about 20% of your budget seems to be the number that works. Track and measure ROI religiously. If you're not doing this every single week, pretty much either at the end of the week when you see your sales results or at the beginning of the week when you're planning what's going to happen in that week, then you could do more. So implementing robust tracking and analytics will allow you to measure the ROI of all marketing activities. Remember, if you're doing stuff that you can't measure the ROI of, there's a big question mark as to whether you should be doing it at all. And if anybody says to you, oh, well, I'm doing that to create more awareness, I think we know what the answer Neil would give. That's not return on investment. Awareness is not return on investment. It's just noise. It's just stuff. Yes, you have to have awareness, but that's not the goal. So that is lazy marketing. So a data-driven approach where actually you're doing proper, robust tracking and analytics will help you to identify which campaigns, which activities are performing well and which ones aren't. You then need to reallocate your resources so you can maximize the overall effectiveness. So you're kind of juggling, you're kind of retuning, you're kind of evolving this thing as it goes. And that was my point about everything changes. From the minute you start on this journey, everything changes. So expect change, welcome change, but you're in charge of that change if you're tracking and measuring religiously. Third tip is to embrace agile budgeting. What I mean by this is that be flexible with your budget allocation. Adopting an agile approach, much as in manufacturing, will allow you to adjust things based on campaign performance and market changes. So when you're this flexible, you can really capitalize on unforeseen opportunities that you wouldn't have otherwise been able to because you couldn't afford it. But importantly, you can pivot away from any strategy or tactics that's underperforming. That's really, really important. You can also utilize free and low-cost marketing tools. There's a load of new stuff coming out. All of the AIs, for example, offer free introductory level tools and opportunities to get in there and play the game. So this could include social media, content marketing, email marketing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So if you can use the power of free functionality, which is obviously a fraction of the cost in terms of resource, than the more expensive alternatives where you're probably not using all of the features and services on offer anyway, then isn't that a better way actually of becoming more efficient and better return on investment? Well, of course, the answer is absolutely yes. Tip number five is to focus on customer retention. This is really important. Investing in customer retention can be way more cost effective, as I think most of us already know, than acquiring a new customer. So what can you do? Well, you can develop loyalty programs. You can develop customer engagement strategies and personalize your marketing efforts to keep your existing customers coming back. It is so, so important as we're looking to make best use of our marketing budget that we remember we'll get more bang for our buck by going through the customer retention route rather than just trying to chuck it out there and hope some prospects do actually sign up. Far better going back to those loyal advocates in our existing customer base. We can also, point number six as well, when we're saying about keeping the cost low, we can also negotiate or renegotiate with suppliers and vendors. You know, don't accept initial quotes, obviously, as final. Negotiate the rates. You know, even small reductions with each one can add up over time. And of course, by definition, that frees up more of your budget for some of these other initiatives that we're talking about. So great opportunities in here, should you choose to focus on them. There's a few more as well, actually, that I've got for you. You know, you can leverage personalization. I mentioned it just a minute ago. Using data analytics, and again, the AIs are offering up big opportunities here. You can get more personalized in your marketing efforts. And of course, this then gets more effective response from the individuals you're targeting. And of course, personalized marketing will significantly increase the engagements, the conversion rate, i.e. the revenue that's coming in, and ultimately customer loyalty, which over time brings more value per customer than if you didn't do it at all. So this kind of leads into the next one, which is optimizing your sales funnel, because analyzing and refining each stages of your sales funnel allows you to identify where potential customers drop off, and then you can put strategies in place to improve conversion rates at each step. So you might want to do, for example, A/B testing, split testing of landing pages. You could streamline the checkout process if you've got an e-commerce site, for example, or just enhance lead nurturing campaigns. All of these things will go into optimizing the return on investment and then ultimately the way that the money then flows. This is why it's called cash flow, the way that the cash flows into your business. That's key, absolutely key. You could as well, if you wanted to take a bit more of a dynamic, proactive approach, you could expand into new markets or segments. So you could explore opportunities to introduce your product or service to new markets or new demographics within existing markets. But you're going to need to do some market research to identify untapped potential by then using that research data to tailor your marketing to resonate with these new audiences. So again, it's just good, good practice marketing. So there's nothing really new here, but it is part of the mix of becoming more financially viable and for boosting sales revenue effectively in these tips. Implementing upselling and cross-selling techniques. Again, this plays into the whole customer retention. So if with your existing customers, you can develop strategies to upsell higher value products or maybe cross-sell related products or services to your existing customers, this will significantly increase the average order value and ultimately customer lifetime value, which by definition is going to give you more budget in your pot. Because if you were to take, say, 10% of your revenues as budget for next year, well, you've increased the revenues here by getting more profitable sales from each customer to then increase, by definition and by default, your budget. So this is kind of how you're boosting your own revenues by actually creating revenues within the business. And the final two are enhancing the customer experience. So focusing on delivering exceptional customer experience, not just great customer experience, not just immersive customer experience, all these kind of phrases that you hear when you kind of read about this stuff, but exceptional customer experience across all touch points. This will lead to increased wow factor and customer satisfaction and loyalty, and hopefully in turn advocacy, which will drive repeat business and attract new customers through word of mouth. That's what advocacy is all about, just in a different word. And we can then, off the back of that, use the final tip, which is content marketing to educate and engage. So much as we are informing ourselves, we can create valuable informative and engaging content that will address, obviously, the audience's needs. And content marketing, again, as part of this mix of resources that we're investing in, will position us potentially as a thought leader. It'll build trust by definition with potential customers, and it'll, of course, guide them through the entire buying process. So all of this stuff kind of plays backwards into just good, mindful, conscious marketing. And it's amazing, actually, when you think about it, just how many touch points marketing and finance have with each other. Finance is there at the core of marketing, but we get so distracted as marketers with content creation, social media, making noise, you know, supporting sales, all those kinds of things without actually revisiting the core reason that we are here doing what we do, which is to improve the return on investment of everything that we touch. And that's really, really key. So as we're closing this exploration of the money matrix for marketers, we need to carry forward this conviction that our marketing resources, if we guide them by insight and innovation and integrity, they can propel us to unprecedented heights. We can actually get some real revenue and some real return and financial success from this. You know, in marketing, wealth isn't just measured in budget sizes, but it's in the richness of our strategies and the depth of our connections. That's what this is about. So we need to be the architects of our own growth here, building not just for the immediate tactical short term, but for a legacy of impact in the longer term. So let's go forward. Let's craft some marketing strategies that don't just spend wisely, but actually invest in a future for our businesses here, where every single penny counts and every single effort resonates.